Our first reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 46, and we're continuing with Elijah. Verse 41 we begin, we finish at verse 46. So we just had the massive sacrifice competition on Mount Carmel, and Elijah had won because God had sent fire on his sacrifice and burned everything up, including the water and the stones. So then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, and a heavy rainstorm came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his coat into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. This is the word of the Lord. And our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. We're at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, and Jesus has been up for part of the feast. And on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. Do you keep 1 Kings 18 in front of you open as we continue through Elijah's life. And let's pray together as we come to the scriptures. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that you would give us soft hearts to receive your word, that you would speak to us, and that you would send upon us and upon our nation the rain of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So when this reading really brings us to the question of when God moves in power, what is it that we are to do in response to all he is doing? What is it that we are to do to partner with him in all he is doing? And here there's an encouragement, there's an invitation, particularly for those who are gifted in the prophetic, those who are gifted in intercession. We see how much we need the prophets and the intercessors to open the door in prayer for the work that the Lord longs to do. And here, after years of drought, finally the land receives this storm of heavy rain in the last verses of our reading. And as we've seen over the last few weeks, first drought and now rain, they're physical pictures of the spiritual reality of the nation of Israel. The drought was a picture of God's judgment on Israel, the removing of his presence. And rain is a picture of his blessing, that he's sending his presence. And it follows, as Liz says, the turning point on Mount Carmel last week, when the people turn back to God and the Lord moves in power, and now the water of the Spirit falls like the storm of rain. And around our world today in 2026, the Lord is moving just as he has done in the scriptures, just as we read about here in 1 Kings 18. One of the most exciting, I've spent a lot of time reading and talking to people about this last year, is what he's doing in the nation of Iran. And you may know that since the Islamic Revolution of 1979, the Iranian people have been forbidden the gospel. The Bible in Farsi is banned, it's illegal. It's illegal to share the gospel. It's illegal to give someone the gospel in Farsi. Pastors have been imprisoned and executed. In 2014, the previous Ayatollah Khomeini declared a fatwa upon all Christians, and the church in Iran were rounded up and executed. In one movement of house churches where I've been particularly talking to people connected with them, there were about 5,000 people in this network in 2014, and 2 years left, there were just 250 people left, and the rest were in prison or executed as the government of Iran has waged war upon Christians. And it's really, it's a picture of the people of Israel under Ahab. In Ahab's regime, we've read in 1 Kings how he rounded up and executed the prophets and priests of the Lord. The same thing's been happening in Iran over the last 30 years. And yet today, despite that, there is revival in the underground church in Iran. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of Muslims across Iran have had dreams of a man in white who introduces himself to them as Jesus. And on waking, they give their lives to him. Anecdotally, about one in four of the believers who've come to faith from Shia Islam in Iran have come to faith through a dream of a man in white appearing to them, one in four. And today, we have no idea of the precise number because the church is totally underground and secret. There's no website, there's no public facing profile. But best estimates place the number of believers. In 1979, there were 500 believers in Iran from a Muslim background. The estimates today range from 400,000 to 1.5 million believers in Jesus who've come to faith in recent years from Islam. And one in four of them, it's been through a dream, just the revelation of the Lord, totally unrelated to any human activity. I've had the privilege this year of meeting with three different church leaders who've been working with the underground church in Iran, and they fly out to Turkey or to Indonesia or other Muslim countries because they can't go into Iran to talk about them, and the church leaders in Iran fly out because they can't be trained in Iran or they'd be arrested. But talking to the two men, one woman who've been out over the last year to meet with these house church leaders in Iran to bring stories of what the Lord is doing, my heart has been just woken up again. It's done me so much good hearing their stories. I'll share some more of them when we have more time this evening. But they give just a glimpse of how today the Lord is sending the rain of his spirit and bringing revival in a nation which, like Israel under Ahab, has literally been putting the prophets of the Lord to death. And it proves what Tertullian wrote 1700 years ago, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And the gates of hell cannot stand up against the kingdom of God. The Lord is building his church today. And he's doing it around the world. Iran's just one example. I could tell you stories all day of what the Lord is doing around the world. But what's so exciting to me is that in the last couple of years, he's begun to do it in the UK too. We've been hearing these stories for decades around the world, but not here. And the statistics just keep adding up. In the Alpha courses, there were 25% more Alpha courses last year than the year before that, with 35% more people doing Alpha in the UK in 2025 than in 2024. Baptisms are up 20% higher, baptisms in the Catholic Church, 10% in the Church of England, record number of baptisms in the Baptist churches. And it's not just the UK. In France, the number of adults joining the Catholic Church in France was up 45% last year. In Finland, the number of 15-year-olds who believe in God doubled over the last 5 years. There aren't many more nations that are more secular than France or Finland. And if the Lord can do it there, he can do it anywhere. And we are seeing the Lord on the move in a new way here in the West. And our passage this morning is a call in response to what the Lord is doing to persevering and to prophetic prayer. That's how we partner with the sovereign reign of God. And it comes in three stages. In verse 41, we read, Elijah says, tells Ahab, go and eat and drink, get out the way quickly, because I can hear the sound of heavy rain. And this is not literal rain. There's been a drought for 3 years. The land is parched. The whole of Israel looks like a desert. They've been on Mount Carmel in the sun all day, and fire has fallen from heaven. So they are dry and they are hot and they are dusty and they are sweaty. They might be even a bit singed. They can't even remember what rain looks or feels like after 3 years. And this is why, if you have any friends who are gifted in the prophetic, this is why prophets are weird. Because Elijah says, I can hear the sound of heavy rain. Desert, baking sun. There's no rain, Elijah. But he hears it. He hears it in his spirit. The Lord is speaking to him. And because he's a man of God, he speaks what he hears from the Lord, even though anybody listening would think that he'd gone barking mad. And I think you or I, we might be tempted to dismiss it, wouldn't we? Surely God can't be saying that. All of the evidence of my senses is saying the forecast is set to heatwave. That's what we've had. That's all we've got. It sounds stupid. It can't be you, Lord. It doesn't make any worldly sense. And that's the pattern throughout the scriptures. He tells Noah to build a boat miles from the sea. There's no way of getting the ark to the sea for 100 years building this boat. Everyone thought Noah was stupid. He tells Gideon to send all his soldiers away before the battle. It's not how you win battles, by getting rid of your army. He tells Elijah that the rain is coming. But humanly speaking, it's not. The forecast is locked on sun and drought. But Elijah hears the word of God, and Elijah believes the word of God. And because he knows and he has faith in what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. He knows that the drought was a sign of God's judgment, giving Israel over to Baal. And he knows that Baal has now been defeated on Mount Carmel, that the people have returned to God. And he knows the promise of the Lord. The Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. And so he expects the rain to come in the physical to show what has changed already in the spiritual, in the nation of Israel, a move of God, a renewal of the nation, salvation for God's people. And the scriptures say that God does nothing without revealing it to his servants, the prophets. He tells Elijah what's going to happen. He invites Elijah to be part of what God is doing. And Elijah acts on what God has revealed. In verse 1 of this chapter, God's told him, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. And Elijah's done what the Lord said. He's presented himself to Ahab. So now he claims the promise of God and says, Lord, you promised you would send rain on the land. Now would you do it? And the Lord answers. And Elijah can hear in his ears the sound of heavy rain. And he speaks it to his servant. Get ready, it's coming. He tells Ahab, it's coming. It's the first stage. The second stage in verse 44. He sends his servant to go out to look for this sound of heavy rain that he sees is coming. And the servant goes and he looks out towards the sea where the rain will come from, and he sees nothing. It's just baking sun, heat wave, blue sky, no rain, no cloud. And he returns to Elijah and says, there's nothing there, Elijah. How many times would you have lasted? How persistent would you have been? I might have believed the Lord one more time, maybe twice, seven times. By time six, he's probably getting a bit fed up. There's nothing there, Elijah. We're going to go back and forth all day. Elijah keeps sending him back. Perhaps you heard God wrong, Elijah. Did God really say that, Elijah? He keeps going back. He knows what the Lord said. And on the seventh, he sees a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. One cloud on the horizon. Friends, that is not the sound of heavy rain. In the UK, we call that a heat wave. One cloud on the horizon. But Elijah knows that his prayer is being answered. Remember, all around it's just sun and dust, one cloud on the horizon. And I think that this stage, this is a picture of where we are in the UK at the moment. The season is changing. The drought is ending. The tide is rising. We've had peak secularism. Perhaps 10 years ago, the new atheism had played its cards and it began to fall into decline. The people, the next generations, are turning back, and they've experienced the wasteland of atheism. And there's a desperation for something more, a return to spirituality among the nation. God is moving. We're seeing this growing trickle of men and women coming to faith, not through anything clever that we're doing, but just through the miraculous intervention of the Spirit of God. God is moving, but it's just a trickle. It's a cloud as small as a man's hand. It's not yet a flood. The stories of what the Lord is doing haven't yet reversed the decline of the institutional denominations. It's just a cloud as small as a man's hand in the distance. But we are seeing it. Here in Emmanuel, I was looking through stories just over the last couple of years. And just in this church family, on the last years, we've had people who've come in on Sunday who've already converted from atheism to become Christians on YouTube and have turned up saying, how does church work? Who've come to faith on Instagram, who've been saved from practicing as witches, who've met Jesus after trying Buddhist meditation, who've turned from Islam to Jesus, who've experienced miraculous healing and come to church to find out why, who've seen anxiety and depression lift off them supernaturally, who've been saved from alcoholism, who've been saved after suicide attempts. Just in this church family, just in the last 2 years. We're seeing the Lord move in beautiful ways, but it's just a trickle. At St. Clair's, we've seen similar. We've got several people at St. Clair's who've been set free from heroin addiction with no withdrawal symptoms, just instantly by being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have one lady at St. Clair's who was walking out of her door intending to turn right. She heard a voice in her ear telling her to turn left. She turned left, saw the church, went in, was saved, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we baptized her a few months ago. We're hearing story after story of how God is on the move, but it's just as small as a cloud, like a man's hand. And we can see that God is moving in this new way, but some of us can hear in our ears the sound of heavy rain. It's in the spirit only. It's not yet on the ground. And Elijah waits on God. He believes God's promises. He acts in obedience to God's revelation. He speaks it. And when his servant says there's nothing there, he says, go back, go back, go back. The Lord is going to fulfill his word. And we read in verse 45 that the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rainstorm came on. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. From the sound of heavy rain, at last a storm of heavy rain. The sky black with clouds, the wind rising, the rain drenching the thirsty ground. As the Lord promises in his word, I will pour out water upon the thirsty ground, streams upon the dry land. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring, my blessing upon your descendants. This has always been the Lord's desire, to come and dwell with his people, to win men and women and children back to walk with him again. In a moment, we'll come to the Lord's table together. And it's for this that Jesus came, to seek and save the lost. It's for this that Jesus died, to tear down the veil that separates you and I from God. It's for this that Jesus gave his life, to rescue us from death, to cleanse us from our sin, to make us one with him, to bring his people back to God again, where we've been dry, where we feel like it's been years of drought. And Jesus points us to the cross and says, I have done everything needful to win you back to me. The heavens are open. The rain of my spirit is for you because I died in your place and rose again, and I have the victory. And the Lord is longing to pour out the rain of his spirit upon his people. It's the Lord's desire, we read in Timothy, to see the salvation of all humanity. And he's looking for men and women who will partner with him as Elijah does, who will listen for his word, who will wait on him, who will believe what he speaks, who will obey what he says. He's looking for the prophets, for the intercessors, those who will stand in the gap, those who will lead on their knees, for the prayer warriors, those who will partner with the Lord in powerful and prophetic and persevering prayer, to join with the Lord in what he wants to do in his world. If we want to see the heavy rain of the Spirit fall on our nation, it must begin on our knees. And so, friends, will we be like Elijah, men and women who labor in prayer, who listen for the voice of God, who trust him when he speaks, who lead on our knees, who listen for the sound of heavy rain, and who trust in the victory that Jesus has won us on the cross. Would you stand with me as the band come back? And we'll just have a couple of minutes to wait and allow the Lord to do that for us. Many of us this morning, we come dry and dusty. We feel like it's been a long time since we've been renewed by the rain of the Spirit. And it can be helpful just to hold out our hands to show that we're expectant to receive from the Lord. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of the living God, would you pour out the rain of your living water upon us, your people. If you're dry and dusty, just name it to the Lord, and he is quick to come and meet with us. He's done everything needed on the cross. The way is open for you to know the refreshing presence of your Lord and Savior. And particularly the Lord, I think, is wanting to call the intercessors and the prophets this morning. For some, it will be the first time laying a burden on your heart to join with him in prayer, to partner with God. For some, you know it's your call, and he's wanting to pour out a fresh anointing, to labor in prayer, to stand in the court of the Lord. If that's you, just receive that, the gift of intercession, the call of the prophetic. Raise up intercessors for our nation, Lord. And as we stand in his presence, as we come to his table, let's receive the rain, the living water the Spirit of God, the presence of Jesus. More of you, Lord.